Yeah, man, I'm glad to be here. Thanks, guys. Oh, you're kind. Sit down, grab your chairs. We're going to go for this. Awesome. Yeah, I flew here to preach the gospel, so we might as well get on with it. Man, you had me revved up there the whole time, did anyway, but pastor started talking about what the love of God does. See, sometimes our whole focus is being loved by God. But his intention is that you get so loved by God and see the beauty of who he is that who he is starts to become the expression in your life. It's not enough to be loved by God. The finished work of the cross is paid in full, not when a man prays a prayer to go to heaven or receives Jesus as his Lord. That's what we preach all over the place. If you look at the Word of God, the measuring stick of God's love is Christ crucified. And the whole purpose of that cross was to get the truth back in you and get the love of God back inside of you so that when you look this way, you look through those eyes. See, being loved by God is one thing. Becoming the love of God is the body of Christ. You get it? Or we're going to do church and learn how to do even better church and might miss being her. And I'm just excited about God changing my life. And you said something, Miss Susie. You said, I'm not just excited to dance here. I'm excited about who's in Dan. And I thought, I'm excited about that too. Because he used to not live in me. And you wouldn't have invited me to your church unless you wanted me to be ministered to and come to an altar call. Because I had nothing to give you. I was living for myself like every other man that doesn't know God. And the unfortunate thing is that sometimes we become a Christian and our focus is still all about us. We're a Christian for ourselves instead of his great name. You're not a Christian for his sake. You're a Christian for the kingdom of God. You're not a Christian so your day goes better. That was never, he never talked about that. We talk about that. We make it all about blessing and favor and provision and protection. And who knows, God will do all those things. Those things are all in his nature. That's not the goal of Christianity. Please, 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 please don't reduce the gospel to a survival kit. And don't become a Christian in hopes of making it or having a better day. That's not why he came. He came to put his life inside of you. And in his life is his nature and the beauty of who he is. He wants to transform us from the inside. He wants you to look through his eyes and see what he's always beheld. He wants you to see people and instead of judge them, criticize them, measure them. Actually see they're valuable and they're worth the blood of Jesus Christ. Rather than live discouraged and frustrated and disappointed, actually live with a hope that every man can be changed because on the inside you know you have been. See, I used to live with me. You didn't. I did. And it wasn't good. I used to go to bed with me and wake up with me, and it was all about me, and I didn't even like me, and I needed you to like me to believe I was likable, and then I lived in some weird places just drawing attention and encouragement through everyday life, so usually I wasn't very encouraged because people weren't doing me right. And all of a sudden, life was deciding who I was, and how things were going was the best I could do. Sound familiar to anybody? Anybody ever lived this way? Listen, guys, we all grew up this way. See, the reason we need born again isn't just because we've sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We've all sinned and fallen short of God, glory of God. And yes, we need born again, but born again is more than the forgiveness of sins. Born again is born again. Sorry, I'm not deeper. Born again is born again. We've turned it into God forgiving me and put my name in the book of life, and I'm going to heaven when the trumpet blows, and now we're in, and yay, and let's attend a decent church and try to live better. Born again is the old passing away and the new coming alive. It's the lie coming off of me and truth adorning me. It's his life inside of me. And his ways inside of me. Before him, his ways and my ways had nothing to do with each other. But now he made us one. He says, Christ in me, the hope of glory. He says, the things I do, you'll do if you believe. He didn't say, sing to me and pray when you're overwhelmed. He said, follow me. Come on, that's the Lord talking. He said, follow me. Romans 8 says we're predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. Colossians 3:10 says, let's put off the old man and his deeds, and let's put on the new man. Who's the new man? Renewed in knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. Guys, we were all born into a lie. The gospel is all about getting the lie off of us so the truth could come back on us. Getting that false identity, that wrong identity off of us. Look, none of us were born into knowing who we were. None of us. Why? Because Adam sinned and got separated from the God, and the day he sinned and ate that tree was the day he surely died. But he didn't fall over dead. So something died. Who he was died. Who he was created to be died. What he was a minute ago died. And he went from knowing God and being one with God to being separated from God. He was one with the source of love. He was created in his image to be love. And now a second later, he's separated from the source of love and he's in need of love. He went from being love, expressing it, the ability to express it. You know that's why Eve came on the scene, right? Not because he was lonely, not because he needed an outlet. What we've done to the gospel through just pale, frail human experience. We live growing up studying a fallen man and think this is who we are. And he's called us higher. He said, come out from among them and be ye separate. He ain't talking about not doing bad stuff. The wisdom of the world, thinking like men that don't know God. Finding ourselves through one another instead of finding ourselves through him. See, I'm done selling cheap. I found I'm not for sale. I'm already bought with a price. See, God made man in his image. So God is multiplying himself through the creation of man. He puts flesh on man so he can act out and flesh out who he is. That's why you know them by their fruits. It's still alive today. That law is still alive today. It was that way from the beginning. And he says it's not good that this guy's all alone. He has none comparable to him. He doesn't make another lump of clay. He reaches into Adam and brings out Eve. That's incredible. She's not another lump of clay. He made from one, two. So two could be one in him. And it's a mystery. And it's Christ and the church and it's husband and it's wife and it's And we've turned it into, I'm lonely, I'm not getting any younger. Hey, she's hot. Hey, he's a hunk. Woo, feelings, emotions, woo! And there's been more pain in the arena of relationship, maybe, than blessing. Why? Because it wasn't that way from the beginning. The fullness of God is in man. The capacity to love, the wisdom of God, the nature of God, the heart of God, the mercy of God is in the man. Women, this is awesome. He reaches in to man and brings the woman out. Why? Because he is so ready to love her like God. Not because he needs the woman. Because he's love. That's different. I say it all the time. I've said it as a pastor. If there's a woman in a man's life, it ought to be because of the fullness of God in the man. Because only then you can love her like God does. If not, you'll just need her and she'll need you. And you'll try to feed each other's deficits and it never works. It's I love you, but it's really I need you. That's why you can say I love you and still fall out. Still have heated stuff going on. Still talk derogatory towards one another. That's how two people can come together and be intimate. And in the morning have a blowout. Why? Because it's not love. We don't even understand what we're saying. It's feely. It's gushy. It's Hollywood. It's starry-eyed. It's twisted up. It's the I love you is really I need you. You're working for me. Because love, it never fails. It doesn't seek its own. It takes no account of the wrong done to it. Love takes no account of the wrong. It keeps no record of what was done wrong. How come we remember it like it was yesterday? How come it's still some of our story? How come to some of it's a justification to not even be like Jesus or pursue it? Well, you don't know what I've been through, brother. What about what he's been through? When do we consider him before us? Or are we tricked into incorporating him into us? I'm not mad at nobody. You know I'm not mad at you, right? I'm not correcting nobody. I'm just crying out my heart. Look, this stuff is deceiving. It's amazing. You can read your Bible and know all about God and not even know him at all. You can quote scripture and not even have an ounce of love inside of you. It says if you don't love, 1 John 4, you don't know him. That's not my sermon. That's Bible. If you don't love, there's one reason, not two. One, not two. If you don't love, you don't know him. He didn't say you don't go to church. He didn't say we don't pastor. He didn't say you don't get on a plane and preach. He didn't say you don't feed the hungry and go on a mission trip. He said, if you don't love, there's one reason you don't know him. What an invite. Let's get to know him, because knowing him is eternal life. We've made eternal life a prayer we pray. Oh, we have. Come on, Church City. Come on, you Church City. I'm not being mean. We've made born again a prayer we pray instead of a life we become. And you can claim to know him and be mad at your brother. You can claim to know him, talk bad about the church and pastor right down the street. Claim to know him and still see color. If you don't know him, you don't love him. If you don't love him, you don't know him. Yeah, and if you don't know him, you don't. That's a revelation. I'm going to preach this. Hang on. If you don't know him, how can you love him? Well, think with me for a second. How marred has the name of God been? So what is the image of God? He makes man in his image. Do we even know his image? What impression do you have of him? How can you love what you don't know? Is he killing our children? Is he got a desk of administration causing all our circumstances? Is he the one that allowed me to be touch strong? Is he the one that made things happen the way they happened? You know, people teach that with passion to make him so sovereign that people don't even see who God is, get so confused through their pain they can't even look up. See, I made a mistake when I said, if you don't know him, you don't love him. I wanted to say it the other way around, and when I said it, I kind of laughed, and I thought, wow, that's about as true as it gets. If you don't know him, how can you love him? So who do men say that I am? And there was a lot of answers. And then he looked right in their eyes and said, who do you say? Because the Jesus you know, the Jesus you say is the one you'll go after, experience. And if you don't have a clear view, why would you pursue him? I'm not being mean when I say this, and I've vocal pastored and I visit churches all the time. Assembling together is scriptural. But going to church will never change the world. But becoming love has to. The goal of the Christian life is not to pray a prayer to go to heaven. The goal of the Christian life is to become love. I have scripture for it. It's 1 Timothy 1:5. The goal of our instruction is love. Some translations, the purpose of the commandment is love. Let us make man in our, and God is what? We say, yeah, but he's glory, he's majesty, he's omnipotent, he's omniscient. Yeah, he's all those things, but everything he is flows out of the beauty of who he is. He doesn't do love, he is love. He does miracles, he is love. He expresses power, he is love. Yeah? God is love, and he made man in his image. So now it makes sense to me. Oh my goodness, the whole reason man's on the earth is to love. We all grew up in desperate need of love and hurt one another over it, manipulated to get it, and all that stuff. We've lived at the expense of each other without even realizing it, and sometimes we did realize it. And love lays down its life for another. And we've lived at the cost of one another. See how twisted it gets? From the time you were little enough to remember to however old we are now, if we don't get this, that thing will still drive us. It was a very young age you became self-conscious. A very young age you became aware of you. You could be in third grade and somebody laughs at what you're wearing and it starts to hurt or make you angry. All of a sudden, you're dictated by life. And all of a sudden, you're becoming a product of what you're going through, not the truth. That's why people hold on to their story so tight. Because it's the only place they ever found any sense of identity. When you know what happened to me, when you don't know what I've been through, well, you need to hear my story. When you don't know what they did to me, when I, you know what it's like when I was growing up. And you're 40 years old, and it's still your story. But it's not producing life. It's keeping you the same. And if you're not careful, it's justifying things that God wants to change. Listen, at a very young age in our lives, all of us in this room at a very young age were nothing more than how we responded to how it unfolded. It was never the real you. So you can laugh that in third grade. You got two choices. Become introverted, low-esteemed, broken inside, or you become a fighter and get hard and make your way. But none of it has anything to do with truth, and it has nothing to do with the real you. It's what's put upon you. And because we don't wake up with an awareness of walking in love, why? Because Adam sinned. We were all born into Adam. Adam became self-centered, self-conscious, self-defending, self-projecting, self-protecting. Flesh of his flesh, bone of his bone, the woman. He comes out of the sleep. He's like, wow. And they had covenant union in the presence of God. Now he sins. Did you eat the tree? How'd you know you were naked? Did you eat the tree? Yes or no question. Did you eat the tree? Yes or no question. It was a woman you gave me. She gave me to eat. It's sin talking. It's flesh. It's self. He's protecting himself. It's a yes or no question, and he can't say yes. It was the woman you gave. What's she saying? If you wouldn't have gave me the woman, I probably wouldn't have ate the tree. Figure it out. Did anybody ever talk like that growing up? Did you ever hear people talk like that? Well, I wouldn't have did it if they didn't. Well, they're the one that started it. Well, they shouldn't have. Well, if they would have never, I wouldn't have. Well, they're the one that pushed me to it. Well, did anybody ever hear this language growing up? Let me ask you this. Did he teach you that language? Did you ever hear Jesus talk like that? So if he didn't teach us the language and he's a good teacher and he said have one teacher, don't have teachers other than one teacher, you got one teacher, he's the Christ. So if he didn't teach us that, where'd it come from? So why do we embrace it? Because we knew it from the beginning of our natural lives and call it normal when he tells us to put it off and put on the new. He says get born again, die to that thing so you can live to the truth. And we turn the gospel into a prayer that takes me to heaven and things stay alive. Not because we're hypocrites, not because we're evil, because we don't understand and we get destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Yet I gave you the knowledge and you've rejected it. See, we don't quote the next verse in Hosea. We always quote the first one. He gave us the knowledge. He sent the way, the truth, and the life. And he said, follow me.
I think I'm gonna
wake up every day and settle in my heart that you owe me nothing because I didn't wake up for what I can get from you. I found myself in him. I'm secure in him. It's not that I don't need you. I'm created to love you. And if I need you, I'm only as good as you're doing me. And then you become my reason for not being okay. Now you're my justification for not being like Jesus. Well, that can't be right. Nope, I'm going to live by a different faith and wisdom than that. I'm going to wake up every day and settle it and know that nobody owes me a thing. And I owe no man anything but to love. Now that sounds like a winner. And all of a sudden I find out 23 years later, my days of disappointment, frustration are over. And all I feel is life on the inside of me. Why? Because I'm not set up to be failed because I'm not expecting from anyone. My expectations from the Lord. And all of a sudden, these scriptures all make sense. Not to lean on my own understanding, put my trust in flesh. Yay, I get it now. I'm not trying to find myself through you. I find myself through him, and I'm finally free to love you. This is amazing. We're back on track. No, we're not just doing church. We're becoming something he paid for. Oh, my goodness, I'm excited now. You get it? Oh. So Adam's created to love. He gets cut off from the source of love, becomes in need of love, and every man is born into Adam, Romans 5. So every person in this room was born into the need of love with a self-centered, self-focused, self-conscious wellspring in their life. Nobody had to teach you to be angry. It came by instinct. You didn't have to study to be angry. Nobody had to read the books and crack out the books and late night study to pull off anger. It was in you before you could speak a language. You were tiny little cutest little toddler and you were like, come on. You see that thing in a little tiny toddler. It wasn't from the beginning. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 16, if any man, don't you like that? If any man, that means everybody's invited. Ain't he amazing? If any man come after me, let him first deny himself. See, he didn't say, if any man come after me, make sure he confesses that he sinned and received me as a Savior. It's the only way I hear us ever preach the gospel. We all make it about what we get from him instead of what we become because of him. And you got a lot of disappointed people that go to church that are letting life speak louder than truth and letting things matter more that don't matter most. Are you all okay? Come on, I came to cheer you on. I didn't come to correct you. I flew here to tell you who you are, to join and co-labor with leaders in the body of Christ and hopefully water some things that have been sown and just how the mouths of do every word confirmed and established. Man's preaching on love for months. So why don't I just go and trust that it complements something and brings something alive? Yeah, that's what it's all about. Yay. I'm having the time of my life. For 23 years, hardly related. People were like, oh, brother. You know the church, if we're not careful, we're like, well, be careful, that guy that's always okay. You know, brother, you got to get him in a room alone when nobody's looking and say, now, how are you really doing? Why? Because we don't believe you can be okay. Why? Because we let other things have a louder voice than him. And we've got tricked into living for the moment. Just living for God to get us through situations. We're just praying to him for circumstances to change instead of for my life to be formed in Christ. To know what it's like to be like him in the midst of that situation and shine like he would. So that when I'm done wrong, I don't live done wrong. And when I'm done wrong, I don't have a prayer request. Come on, we become ministry crazed because we're seeking ourselves. We're just seeking what we can get out of him constantly. And instead of seeking to become more like him. How come when I get laid off, I live laid off? How come if I'm treated wrong, I live treated wrong? How come if I'm betrayed, I live betrayed, and betrayed is in my language? And then people come near me and I tell them about the betrayal, and unfortunately it's people I'm talking to that relate to my pain, not the truth, so they become my support system and encourage my pain because they understand. And ain't nobody going free. It's just all justified. But none of it's the kingdom of God. He said, if you come after me, he never said prayer, and make sure you go to heaven. He never said, if you leave this service tonight and hit a tree and die, are you ready? He didn't say that. That's what we all say. You've heard it your whole Christian lives. I'm not making this up. The whole push is making sure you know you're ready for heaven. And he said, heaven's in you. The kingdom of God has come. We don't pray a prayer to go to heaven. Heaven wants to come back in us. We're not waiting for heaven and then pressing through the hell of it all. If any man come after me, let him do something first. Let him what? Deny what? Why? Because Genesis gives it away. Nobody was ever made for themselves. They were made for his image. And the biggest lie on the planet is that every day men wake up and live for themselves instead of his image. And Jesus, good teacher, the way, the truth, I bet he knows the life. He says, you guys got to deal with this problem if you're going to follow me, because there's something that I don't have in my life that you've all had. I don't seek my own. I'm not living for myself. I love not my own life unto death. I'm selfless. If you come after me, you got to deny yourself. Find out what that means and pick up your, what's that mean? Don't let sin against you give the right to produce sin in you. Don't repay evil for evil. Overcome evil with good. Don't let where your spouse isn't decide where you are. Ooh. And if you just elbowed your spouse, I was talking to you. For sure. Isn't it amazing how we let what people are and aren't decide who we are? Look, I put that away a long time ago. I'm done letting one person decide my disposition if their name's not Jesus. Well, I'd be doing better if it wasn't for... Well, you know, if she would just... Wait a minute. The people you're pointing to aren't Lord. Why are they governing and deciding your life? The Lord, the ruling, supreme being, the supreme factor, the ruling, governing factor of your life, the Lord of your life. Well, I'd be doing better, brother, if it wasn't for this, this, and this. This, and this isn't Lord. Your eyes are on the wrong thing. Somehow you got the idea that Christianity is God changing to this, this, and this. No, Christianity is God getting inside of you and changing you so you see this and this and this different. So you see people different. Come on. If I let what somebody doesn't see decide what I do see, then we're both deceived. Well, you don't know what it's like living with them. You ought to live with them for a week. I hear people talk like that in the body of Christ. It's a dead giveaway. We have no idea why Jesus came. Somehow we think he came for our sake instead of our transformation. And when I say our sake, you know what I mean by that. Our personal sake. He's not compelled to change anything. So he didn't put the fire out for Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego. He didn't put the fire out. He's not going to give that much honor. He's Lord of the fire. If he puts the fire out, it's a different message. Now your circumstance has to change. He didn't put the fire out. Why don't we talk about that? He didn't put the fire out. He left it rage all around them, boys, but because they wouldn't change what they believe and who they honor, it had no power to change them. And when they came out of the fire, you couldn't tell they were ever in a fire. Except the extreme passion they probably carried. But I know this, a man and a nation that didn't know God all of a sudden got introduced. Why? Because that's the purpose of the body of Christ. That when your Nebuchadnezzars are threatening to throw you in a fire, you won't bow and worship to anything that's not the Lord. And it ain't about whether the fire goes out or not. And you have to look at the king and say, what is your fire to us, O king? We have no need to even answer you in this matter. It ain't about your fire. I pastored long enough to see many people, good people, that love God sincerely and the best they have understood God up until that point, get so moved by trial, crisis, and others. It's an indictment against us that we haven't preached a clear enough gospel and we're letting a lot of things matter more that don't matter the most. We have preached better circumstances instead of changed lives. We've lived for calmer seas, for more barns and vats full, and cast our bread and hope much more loaves come back, and We got faith scriptures all over our fridge and we quote them faithfully, but the whole goal is so our day unfolds the way we hope. And then when it doesn't unfold that way, our disposition changes and we're wondering where we're missing it and why our faith isn't working. Well, then Jesus really needed ministry in the area of faith because his days would have crushed us. He's doing nothing but good and they're trying to find out what's bad in it. He does nothing but good and they're calling it evil. And you never saw him change. You say, well, that's because he's Jesus. No, that's because he's love. Don't make him a special man and miss the point. What makes him special is his love. Teachers, preachers, and theologians constantly preaching that he couldn't sin because he's God. And they miss the number one reason you can't sin is because you're selfless. It has no platform. When you don't live for you, there's no place for sin. So when we make he didn't sin because he's God, then that leaves us all out, so grace can never empower us, so we're all just trapped in this state, so we're sinning while we're breathing. Oh, I've heard it all. And we miss. And don't skip a beat. What are you saying? You're perfect. You're freaking me out. Yeah, I was listening up until now, but now you're freaking me out. Just stop, stop, stop. You don't need to blow a heresy whistle. I'm not saying I'm perfect. I'm not saying we never sin. What I'm saying is we miss these things. The reason we all sin is because we're living for ourselves. Deny yourself. Pick up your cross. You're following Jesus and he wasn't sinning. Would he say, follow me if you couldn't? He gives you Holy Spirit to help you. He gives you a scripture in Galatians that says, if you live by the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. It's amazing how we talk around God. And Lord, our human experience above his grace that changes me. It's amazing. So then we have to preach a grace that gives me permission to be whatever and claim him. And then that has pastors all worked up and worried. So now we got all these different camps. Look, you can't preach grace apart from transformation. You're preaching grace apart from transformation, then you're preaching grace kind of like mercy, like, oh, whatever, God knows your heart, brother. Look, we all have our weaknesses. Stay encouraged. And all of a sudden, you're not even confronting the situation through true identity. You say, boy, I really blew up on my wife this morning. I sure thank God for his grace. No, his grace keeps you from blowing up. That's not works. It's empowerment. See, grace is empowerment, not favor. If the only revelation you have of the gospel is God came to bless you, you always see grace as favor. Just grace's favor on your life. Favor to make more money. Favor to get a job. Favor to... But the real meaning of grace is God's willingness to use his power and ability on your behalf. It's God getting in a man and a woman and transforming them from the inside so their life looks more like him. So here, this is not my scripture. Jesus said, you guys are the light of the world. Wait a minute, Jesus, I thought you were the light of the world. I am, and I'm in you, and now you're the light of the world. Watch. So let your... So shine before men so they see who I am through you. That's really what he's saying. It doesn't get any more personal than that. And we could reduce it to going to church. Find one we like, of course, where the worship's really good and the preacher has charisma. But don't let them do anything that I don't agree with, or I'll send a note in the offering, and if they don't answer it in about 3 weeks, I'll find another place because they're on every corner. Sorry. I'm sorry. Oh, did I just say that? Yes, I did. You know people church shop. Rarely does a person say, God, where would you want to plant me? Where would I best benefit your work, your will, your kingdom? Most of us, if we had to work side by side with somebody, we'd pick somebody we prefer. If the Lord had his way, he'd put somebody beside you that challenges you to no end, just to teach you and grow you, and he would. I believe it. That devil, every church I go to, he always puts somebody demon-possessed in my ministry. I bind you, devil. And the Lord said, I'm trying to get his mindset out of you. See, it's not cool if you can't see the value of every person through the blood. It's not cool. Watch, I'm just going to be, man, I hope you hook me if you need to and sit me down. But if you're still having trouble with people and first impressions and they bother me and warning has nothing to do with the people. We get tricked into the pride of preference. And if things don't agree with our preference, then it ain't a part of our life. In the name of the Lord. Come on. Preference. Well, I don't like it that way. Well, I don't like the person. Well, I don't like their voice. Their voice just bugs me to no end. I wish they'd just shut up. How come somebody has a voice that irritates me? Just talk. Come on. You know why you're laughing? Because these examples are real, that we've been this petty. We've been shallow like this. We've made our preferences pretty much lord of our lives. So we surround ourselves with what we prefer, and it could have absolutely nothing to do with truth, Jesus, or love. And then if anybody doesn't fit into our preference, they don't fit into our lives. It's a big time sign that we don't know him. Because that's not Jesus. Look at the heat he took for the people he hung with the most. Look at the heat he took for the people he spent intimate time with and poured into. Why? Because he knew who they were from the beginning. Men knew who they were on the surface. Men knew their actions. Men knew their resume. He knew them from the beginning. He didn't see an adulteress. He saw a woman predestined to live in God's Spirit. They trying to challenge Jesus. What do you say? Law says kill her. What about you? Jesus is amazing. He disqualifies him with one sentence, but in the same sentence, I don't know if you know this, he qualifies himself to kill her. You who have no sin, go ahead. Cast the first stone. From the oldest to the youngest, there's significance there. They all drop their stones and walk away. Guess who had no sin? Guess who under the actual law, according to righteousness, had the right to stone her because he was righteous in the sight of God, flawless, blameless. He disqualified him and qualified himself, and he said, where are thine accusers? She said, there are none, Lord. He said, I accuse you neither. Go and sin no more. That's not works. That's not legalism. You know what he's saying? You're more than this. I'm not going to judge you for this because I know who you really are. I'm not here to accuse you. I'm here to save you, to set you free. Go and sin no more because you're more than an adulteress. Whew. He wasn't saying, well, I'm going to let you go this time, but don't you ever do it again. Don't you be finding yourself in no man's bed. That is not what he was saying. He separated her from what she did because he knew who she was from the beginning. God, on our darkest day, knows exactly who we're created to be. So while we were yet sinners, he sent his son, not because he's winking at sin and saying, whatever. It's because he knows we're more than that in him. And we're half afraid to talk about it because our human experience has taught us so well. And we say we're following him, but I'm concerned we're following one another. I'm really concerned we're following one another on some of this stuff. Well, you can't live. Well, you can't be telling me. Well, what are you trying to say? Well, I knew a pastor. He was so holy. He was the closest man to Jesus. And you know, he's this and he that. Whoa, stop. What are you even justifying? First of all, you're not supposed to be following the pastor. You only follow a person as he's following Christ. And as soon as you see him not following Christ, oops, weakness, something he needs to grow in. But don't you take that as your measuring stick. People say, well, brother, we're always going to miss it. Brother, everybody has their moments. You can't be in denial, brother. You got to face reality. What's your reality, your experience or Jesus's life? What are you going after, living in the spirit or living in the flesh? What's your reality? See, people give themselves away when they talk. And they make their experience truth. Well, your experience can't be truth, or there'd be freedom in your experience. The truth makes you free. Your experience can't be truth. Oh, man. Come on. All I know is when I look at Jesus, he's doing nothing but good and getting hammered on the outside for it, and it don't change him. Why? Because he's love. Please be encouraged today. Don't let things around you change the one that's on the inside of you, because he don't change. Let your perspective agree with him and learn what it means to deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow him. You know, I realize we got trouble on the earth, but the trouble ain't what we call it. We think it's ISIS and terrorism. We think it's the president. We think it's politics. We think it's racial conflict. We have a lot of things we point at as our problems. So honestly, the problem on the earth is that every day, even good-intending people and Christians that go to church wake up and live for themselves instead of pursue his image. If Jesus said, deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow me, he's serious. So what's that really mean? That tells me you can't be a Christian for you. You're already in trouble. If you're a Christian for you, you're in trouble. You're a Christian for his great name. Your life represents him. You mark the hearts of men with the picture of who he is. If we're not careful, we've been taught some other gospel that just allows us to be like men that don't know him, but we're forgiven. So we have bumper stickers, not perfect, just forgiven. That's impressive to the world. Oh, man, that'll get them converted. Hey, I'm just like you, man, but he forgives me. You need to pray the prayer so you're forgiven too. What kind of gospel message is that? Does that sound like you're in the world, not of the world, out of darkness, into the light? Come out from among them, be ye separate, I'll be a God unto you, and you'll be my people? It's just a couple scriptures. I could go on if you'd like. Not perfect, just forgiven. The tragic excuse. If you got the bumper sticker, give me the razor blade. I'll work on it for you. If you're afraid of scratching your car, I'll just believe God. I'll believe God, your car won't get scratched. But we will get that bumper sticker off your car. My dad, growing up, alcoholic, and just had no, he was an empty cup. He didn't have anything to give. He was in trouble. So as a young kid, if you're not careful, you need your dad. You take it personal. His life reflects on the value of your life. And hopefully none of you in this room believe that. That is trashy lies. That has nothing to do with nothing. It's one hurting man that doesn't have the capacity to fulfill what you need. And if you're trying to drink out of a dry cup, of course you're thirsty. So you find this one that says, if you take one drink from me, just one drink, hey, you're trying to drink from the wrong fountain, pal. You come to this fountain. And you ask me for a drink, and I'll give you a drink, and just one drink, and you ain't never going to thirst again. What's he talking about? Identity and knowing who you are. But if I'm a young man trying to find my identity through my dad or letting my dad send a message to my identity, I'm in trouble. And now I'm 40, 50, 60 years old, and I'm still talking about I ain't no dad to love me, and it's because I never, and my dad always said I'd be nothing. I guess he was right, da-da-da-da-da. And I'm going to let one man that was a dry cup decide who I am? Well, that's idolatry. Jesus said the truth's in me. My dad actually got born again through my salvation, which was awesome. My dad's still alive today. He just had a birthday December 2nd, 77. It's all good. Sure, he's good not to be a bitter son. Sure, it's good to be a Christian and love him and understand and forgive him. Father, he doesn't know what he's doing. Sure, it's cool to not have regrets and try to relive and buy back and find some way to redeem your childhood and the missing years. No. How about just know the love of Christ and get filled with all the fullness of God and call it even? And how about learn from it and go ahead and be a better dad than you ever saw your dad be and just go after it, man. And if he was drinking, make sure you just don't even open a bottle. Why? Because it never brought anything good to the family. So I'm not run down by the spirit of alcoholism because my great-granddad died of alcoholism. My granddad died of cirrhosis. My dad had cirrhosis, was bleeding at a young age. And it's all true. So what, am I next in line? Are you kidding me? Why do we always say, well, I drink because my dad drank? That's a good reason not to. Well, I just smoked pot because it was in the house when I was a kid. My parents had me smoking pot when I was 14. I smoked pot because my parents smoked pot. Probably a good reason not to ever light a joint. Because you're hurt, you're mad, you didn't get loved by them. You felt like there was emptiness in the home. There was chaos all the time. You were half scared and didn't admit it. And now you're smoking pot because they smoke pot. Boy, that's a good reason not to. Oh, man. How many times you hear this stuff, though? Well, I just drink because my dad drank. Well, it's generational, brother. It can be, but why don't we apply some understanding to it and let your heart respond? Your heart's not a prisoner. Come on. I don't believe it. I believe every man has ears to hear if he'd turn them to hear. You could sit here in your chair and go, duh. I've been letting this thing wreak havoc in my life, and I believe this about myself just because it's in my heritage. I got a different heritage than that. My line goes back to the beginning. Man, I was different before all that. I'm finding myself. What's Jesus say in Matthew 23:9? I think it's there, exactly. Call no man on earth your father. You have one father and he's in heaven. What's he saying? It's wrong to give him a Father's Day card and you just sinned? No. What he's saying, don't limit, identify, and regulate your life by your natural biological means. Don't find yourself through your family tree. Call no man on earth the one you came forth from. That's what the word father means there. Because you came forth from one, and he's in heaven. Whoa! See, that works for me. So I don't have a hurting, lonely, battered child dwelling down on the inside of me that you need to minister to. But if you look, you will bump into the Holy Ghost. He's in there. And he's my friend. And he likes me a lot. Pursued to move into me before I even knew what was happening. He wanted to live in me the whole time. I was a house fit for a king and didn't even know it. I was looking for your compliments. I was worth the blood of the Son of God. I was trying to get a laugh at work. Those days ended a long time ago. And I know I come across a certain way, and I'm not even really apologizing for it. I've lived this thing for 23 years. Not preached it, lived it. That's why I preach it intense. Because I'm on to something and I just know it's amazing. I know it's freedom. And if I wake up worrying about what you're thinking, I'm probably insecure. If I wake up knowing what he said and loving you, I'm probably on a good start today.
Yay. I'm just going to live there.
And I flew all the way here to say, why don't you join me? Why don't you let the things that matter most, and overtake some of the things we've allowed to matter more? Feeling sorry for yourself is the biggest trap on the planet, no matter how bad the story, because it's a sign of self-centeredness. When you're feeling sorry for yourself, you're considering yourself. Who's ever been blessed in the middle of feeling sorry for yourself? Watch. Who's ever produced an ounce of life feeling sorry for yourself? Who's ever shined any sense of light feeling sorry for yourself? That's how you know it's It's never him. Let your light so. Anything that's designed to quench the light is from another kingdom. Any wisdom, any reasoning. I did a little conference just a month ago for some men. It was called Champions, Making Champions conference thing. We looked up Champions. The Lord said, have somebody pull up their phone. Webster's, just go to Webster's, man. Good old Web. Just check out Champion. And one of the definitions of champion, because they read one or two, I said, no, keep reading. I said, that's it. And we just sprung off of Webster's definition and just preached, man. And it said, a champion is someone that has overcome every rival. Your war is not flesh and blood. There's a war against the kingdom of God in you. The sower sows the word. Kingdom of God is if a man scatters seed. Satan comes for the word's sake, not to give you a tough day. But if you're self-focused, you think he's picking on you. He's coming for the word's sake. He's coming so the word never gets alive in you, established in you, builds up in you. He's coming to strip away the kingdom of God. He's not trying to give you a hard day. He doesn't ever want you to become what Jesus paid for. So he muddies it up, he scrambles it, and all that stuff. And if you don't deny yourself and love not your own life unto death, how will you overcome? You can plead the blood till you're blue in the face, and you proclaim the word of your testimony all you want. But the third one that makes the first two so amazing is you love not your own life unto death. And that's the one we don't preach. We say, how do you overcome? By the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Hallelujah! I've been in church. That's what we preach. The first two. Shout them, drums roll, and everybody, woo! But what makes those two stick is you love not your own life unto death. Yeah? I'm going to talk real plain and real straight. Can't be angry, can't be mad, can't be disappointed at folks when you're walking in love. It's impossible because love doesn't seek its own. So your opinion of them gets crushed. Your attitude towards them begins to align to Jesus. And even if they're living out of order, forgive them, Father. They don't know what they're doing, because if they really saw who they were, they wouldn't be living that way. And instead of being frustrated, I have compassion. Instead of being angry, I find mercy. Now, if your spouse is really that bad, have you ever considered crying for them? Because if they really knew who they were, they wouldn't be living that way. Maybe you don't have the problem you think you do. Maybe they're in trouble. Just wonder if Jesus looked at you and me when we weren't living out what he created us for. And he said, I've had enough. I'm just tired of it. Well, they just make me so mad. Well, they should know better by now. I think they do that on purpose just to make me angry. It's amazing how we paint the picture of God and expect him to be that way towards us and miss that he created us in his image and wants us to be that towards everyone. It's amazing how we can claim his forgiveness without becoming forgiven. It's amazing how we can preach and sing of his mercy enduring forever, hoping he comes in the room like he did in that day. And the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. And we're looking for the little smoke thing. And where did we ever get the idea that we receive mercy just to obtain it instead of to become merciful people? Do you think he forgave us just to be forgiven? Or do you think he forgave us so that we're so touched by the beauty of being forgiven that we become that same expression to all men? It's amazing how we in the church say, well, brother, give me time. I'm trying to forgive. It's amazing how we have such a grid for unforgiveness because we were trained by it. Instead of put it all off when we get born again and say, nobody owes me a thing. Nobody owes me a thing. You don't have to believe me. Heaven will reveal that's true someday. Nobody owes me a thing. I didn't wake up this morning to receive anything from anyone. That's why I'm so full of joy. It's ridiculous. I suppress my joy. I might not do that great at it, but I suppress my passion when I'm preaching. I do the best I can. I'm way more excited on the inside than you see. I suppress it to communicate because I understand what freedom is. I'm free from me. I thought you were my problem. I thought if God tweaked you, life would be better. Arrogant, self-centered mindset. For the last 23 years, I realized I was the biggest thing on the planet that was my problem. Every day, me living for me. And I'm created to walk in the light as he's in the light. Getting tricked into praying for what he can do for me before how he can make me more like him. You think Holy Spirit is in this room to meet everything we would call needs? It's a good way to drive him out of the room. Holy Spirit's here, the music's right, and the Holy Spirit's here. He's here to meet every one of your needs. No, he's not. Stop telling people that. He's not. A lot of our needs are wants. They're dictating your disposition and your expression. All of our needs have become idolatries. Holy Spirit's here to hover over what doesn't have total form and give it form as he speaks. From the beginning, it was this way. Take away the chaos and bring definition. Holy Spirit's here to make us more like him. Yay. Not just get you a better job. And I hope you get a better job. But you know what's tough? That when you don't get the better job, you're sad, throwing a bully, don't even want to pray because he didn't bless me or give me my job. That you're proving you've never known him. You've never had a relationship. You've rubbed the lamp and you've hoped it happened. And here's the paradox. If you don't see him for the beauty of who he is, you won't draw near to him and be intimate with him. If you're mad at him, you're not being intimate with him. And the only way you can reproduce is intimacy. You know how many reasons people have for not being alone with him, being in him, being with him? Well, I'm just confused. I'm a little mad at God. Well, I don't know why he let. Well, I don't know when I was 10 why. Well, nobody's ever to question why. Well, I'm just wondering. People do this stuff all the time. What's happening? They're being tricked out of intimacy so they can never reproduce anything in him. Remember what happened to David's wife? David was so in love with God, he's dancing pretty much out of his clothes. He wasn't wearing the right things to be spinning the way he was, I guess. But she got indignant of his worship. It's amazing how the Bible says she was barren all the days of her life. Why? Because when you're indignant, you're not having intimacy. When your heart's hard, you're not having intimacy. She was barren all that. We just think she didn't have kids. But interpreted on a spiritual level, New Covenant Church, pointing to what's coming. You live with a heart like that, you'll be barren all the days of your life. And in this, the Father's well pleased that you bear much. And that your fruit. Not that you have a good day now and then. Y'all good? I hope you're good. It'd be a shame I'd be this good and you aren't good, a little bit good. I'm just feeling happy right now. I didn't come to spank you. I didn't come to correct you. I promise you, I did not fly to Augusta to set you straight. I came to co-labor with these guys and cheer you on and tell you who you are. He paid for this. Man, say no to animosity. Pursue peace in your home. Don't live at the expense of each other if he gave his life for that person. And stop subtly believing that God put somebody in the earth to meet your needs, to scratch your itch, to do it your way. No, God put people on the earth so you could love them like he does. So why don't you receive his love and become that love? And life gets fun. It's fun traveling and going through an airport, getting in lines and being around a lot of people that are pushing and shoving when you have a different view. It's fun. You can actually sit in traffic and be okay. Yeah? The key is loving not your own life unto death, denying yourself. Waking up every day and realizing, man, today isn't about me getting it the way I'd like it. Today's about walking in the light as he's in the light. Letting him shine through me without trying so hard. You say, how do I get there, brother? We'll talk about it a lot tomorrow. But I'll give you a little, just a little introduction. Your life will never change without being close to God in intimacy and relationship. Your life will never change because you listen to me preach tonight, YouTube, or listen to Pastor Matt preach. Your life's not going to change because you heard a sermon. Your life will change when you get alone with him and tell you you believe this is his word and you believe this is his will and ain't nobody looking. You say stuff like, man, I've been living for myself in many ways. It's making sense. I've been trying to find my identity through life, through people at a young age. I think I was all messed up, man. In school, some of us look back and go, boy, they were some crazy years. Why? Because, man, right? Because everything that was going on was deciding who and how we were. Be real with me. And we're all looking for stability rather than truth. What we're saying is we're all wishing things would straighten up and the craziness would go away. But who learned that the craziness don't go away? So there has to be a better answer than just believing for smoother circumstances. Has to be a greater answer. So God sends the truth. He says stuff like it's more blessed to than. Ain't that amazing? Come on, man. We spend our lives trying to get instead of become. More blessed to give. He says in Philippians, don't just consider your own interest. Philippians 2. Don't consider your own interest, but also the interest of others. In fact, I'll tell you what, go ahead and consider others more highly than yourself. In fact, have this same mind in you that was found in him, who even though was equal with God, meaning the Son of God, didn't consider it something to be held on to, acknowledged for, and honored for, but instead denied all that and laid all that down and made himself of reputation. Guys, we've been seeking reputation. He made himself of none. He was the Son of God. He didn't ride on in like the Son of God. He came through Mary. He came in a manger. He came on a donkey. He took the cross. Called himself the Son of Man the whole time. Though he was equal with God, he didn't look to be acknowledged as such. He wanted to show us what love looked like and surrender and everything we were created for. Jesus is so my hero because, see, now I realize he's not just my Savior, which is powerful. He's my model for life. He shows me what life looks like as a man in the Father. Or he'd have never said, follow me. So now I don't just have a sermon, I have a life to follow. I don't have words, I have a man named Jesus, but yet Son of God, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Whoa! And I can see his life and follow him. I do it all the time. I have fun with this stuff. Nobody ever saw Jesus in Scripture just hanging out on the Mount of Olives, sitting on a rock. Peter coming. What's up, Lord?
Nothing, man, nothing. John strolls over on his other side. You okay, Jesus? Just a little bummed. I'll work through it. Just a little bummed. What's the matter? Well, just people, man. I mean, you lay down your life. You do. You give. And it seems like the more you give, they don't even appreciate you. I mean, you do all kinds of good. You mean good from your heart. And all they think about is what they don't agree with, what they don't receive. I mean, Peter, you don't see this way far off. But if we had social media today, oh, my goodness. Who ever saw a conversation like this with Jesus? And then Peter's just rubbing his shoulder. You'll be okay, Lord. Do you want me to pray for you? No, I'll be good. Then John rubbing his other shoulder. Lord, you're just really having a trying day. Maybe you need a couple days off. See, none of that's true. What he would need is a new perspective. But he's the light of the world, so he's not going to get a bad perspective. But see, when I make Jesus talk like that, it sounds ridiculous. Why? Because we don't know him as such. But he made us for his image and said, follow me, and the things I do, you'll do if you believe. He's firstborn among many brethren. Conformed and predestined to be conformed to his image. John, 1 John 2, any man that says he abides in him ought to walk even as he walked. So all of a sudden I do this little skit and it sounds ridiculous. It makes us laugh. It's silly. Well, it ought to sound just as silly if that's your language. Because he never taught you to speak that way. You were trained by the wisdom of men. And the way that seemeth right to a man was your tutor. And hurting people understand your language and it makes it then okay. And the best we can do is sympathize and be sensitive and understand each other's pain. But who goes free? Could you picture Jesus having a little tizzy like this? Just this little fit? Sitting there pouting because people don't love him. Saying, you know, I've been thinking, man, guys, if they didn't change by now, I just don't see him changing. I mean, that was intense at Lazarus' tomb. I mean, how much more intense, guys? I mean, and now they want to kill me. I mean, I raised him from the dead, and they want to kill me, and they just as soon have Lazarus. John, can I just lay my head on you for a change? I just need help, man. It's supposed to sound silly. So that if you ever get tricked into thinking that way again, you'll catch yourself. Remember that silly little skit. Say, wait a minute, I never learned that mindset from him. I never heard him talk like that. So why are those words in my mouth? Where did I get those words? If I didn't learn it from him, where'd I learn it? He said, seek ye first the... He didn't say, seek ye first your well-being. Seek ye first your spouse to do you like you need. Wonder if you, in your heart, taught yourself this after this weekend, that when I wake up in the morning, I'm going to teach my heart. I'll put a note on my mirror. I'm going to talk to God about this. And I'll talk more about this but in the weekend. But you wake up in the morning and teach yourself that this morning, nobody owes me a thing. I'm alive for one reason. To walk in the light like he's in the light, to bear witness of him without trying hard, just because I've been with him. I wonder if the whole goal of your instruction is love. And wonder if the whole reason mercy wakes you up in the morning is to give you one more day to be like him. You know, I can show you two scriptures where a Christian is, it's totally unscriptural to complain. Never complain as a Christian. Why? It's a dead giveaway that you're thinking for yourself, because when you complain, you're not satisfied. Complaining is so normal. It's frightening. We complain about the smallest stuff. I could show you two places where complaining is destructive. And the devourer devours and has a field day there. Where actually complaining
causes people to see you through blurry eyes, and all of a sudden your life's not effective, and a perverse generation doesn't see anything distinct because you have the same motives as they do. You're to live sanctified, set apart. It says, don't grumble and complain. Like they did in the wilderness, were destroyed by the one that destroys. Bible says in Philippians, do all things without grumbling and complaining. Why? So you, right, can be seen as innocent, harmless children in the midst of a perverse generation, whom you, shining forth as a light, holding forth the word of life. It's Philippians 2, it's there. How many things? All things. Complaining's a dead giveaway that you got that little thing tricking you called self. Pretty awesome. He's a good teacher, ain't he? He's carrying the cross. He don't deserve one bit of it. They beat him beyond description, strip him naked and kill him. And he freely lets them do it. Why? Because what we're talking about is true. And he believes putting who he is back inside of you is worth what he paid. We turn it into a prayer to go to heaven someday. He says, no, I want my life back inside of you. I want to redeem what was lost. I'll appear to be a lie. I'll be cursed so you can get back into this truth. I'll lose my appearance and my identity, and no man will even be able to recognize me so you can be recognizable again, so the identity of the Lord can come back onto your lives. The Bible says he was beat beyond description. He was marred more than any of the sons of men. When they were done beating him, you couldn't tell who he was. Don't tell me you could tell who he was. He's beaten more than any of the sons of men. The worst affliction ever given to a man, he was worse. Isaiah 52. It's true. Marred more than any ever marred. You burn a man on a stake. You tie him to a pole and light that thing on fire. You tell me when the fire's out, you can tell if he's even a man. That's just one example. They boiled people in oil back in those days. You throw a man in a cauldron of oil and pull him out, and you tell me if you can tell his gender. They tied people to chariots and drug them for a mile across the ground. He was marred more than any. Scripture. That means when they were done whooping him, there ain't no way you could tell who he was. And what he looked like was gone. Why? Because when sin got done with Adam in the garden, he didn't look anything like he was created to be. He had lost his appearance. So Jesus lost his appearance to pay the price to get identity back on the people of God. And you think I'm going to calm down? Not if I believe it. If it's theology, oh wow. But if I believe it. See, I didn't come to preach my doctrine to you in theology. I came to preach my life in him. That's why I'm so passionate and confident. I didn't come to convey my Bible reading. You can know all about the Lord and never ever meet him if you don't get along with him. You can let your Bible knowledge take the place of knowing him. It's called scripturally knowledge puffing you up. But love edifies. You can let church attendance take the place of knowing him. You can let the ministry you serve in take the place of knowing him. But knowing him is eternal life. Y'all good? Okay. Wow, I actually did good. It's only like 10 to 9. That's amazing. Most churches, I preach for a whole nother hour for sure. But I don't feel that in my heart. Now, I didn't finish yet, but I'm just telling you. No, I'm just being honest. But I am telling you, I don't feel that in my heart. What's our service times tomorrow? 10:30 in the morning. Well, that's not even that early. I know it's Saturday. You might have family stuff, work schedule. We get it. One of the beauties of doing a bunch of services is not so you come to everyone. It's so you might be able to catch something. I mean, be honest with me. Not just because I preached great tonight. But how can you sit here and not be convicted of something? How can you just walk out really without thinking twice about, even if you don't totally agree with me, you'll think about these things. And when your life lives counterproductive to what we're saying, you'll be aware of it. So that excites me, a guy like me, because kingdom grows if a man scatters seed. So I just brought this big spiritual seed bag. And they let me flip on the mic, and I just, from the time I started talking, I'm just doing this the whole time. And I'm trusting the work of Holy Spirit. I'm trusting God. I'm trusting the conviction of the Lord. You have to when you're a minister, when you're a preacher, when you're a pastor, you counsel people. You have to trust that, God, you're going to do something with these words because I shared it for their sake. I didn't share it because they're in trouble alone. I didn't share it because I'm frustrated with them. Don't even do that to your children. Don't correct Billy because he's pushed you too far and you send him to his room. No. You correct Billy, he's your son, and you correct him because he's so much more than what he's given himself to. And you teach him that in the correction. If you just say, Billy, just get to your room, man. If I told you once, I told you 100 times, just get to your room. But mom, but dad, just get to your room, boy. That's not cool. Please don't do that to little Billy. You sit Billy down. And you teach him who he's called and created to be. You teach him at a young age on his terms and level, so of understanding of what it means to be part of a family. And you try to impart things at a very young age. And if he needs some discipline, what you're teaching him is if you continue to live this way in your life, son, as you get older, it'll bring pain into your life. It'll cost you something. It's the purpose of discipline. It's not to set him straight. It's to teach him a higher truth. Countless parents, we've all done it, just frustrated with our children. Then we teach them they can be a frustration to us. Yeah? Now, if you've done that, come on, fall in the mercy of God and just say, oops, okay. I'm not going to do that to Billy. Billy's more than that. I'm not going to do it to anybody. Why? Because if Billy's getting on your nerves, somebody else is. So why not get to the root of it and let that thing die to where nobody owes me a thing? Come on. People say, well, you can't tell me people don't get on your nerves. I say, nope, you need to get new nerves. Do you think God's sitting on his throne and he goes, oh, I'm so frustrated with the earth. I'm at wit's end. People just, they just jerk me the wrong way. I'll tell you what, I'm just going to send my son. Does it say for God was at wit's end and so frustrated with humanity he finally sent his son? Does it? For God so, here's what it means. For God so never changed his mind about who he created man to be and never let sin change the truth about their potential and purpose that he sent the one that was slain before the foundation of the world because he knew who men were from the beginning. That didn't do any injustice to that scripture. That's exactly what it's saying. For God so loved you and didn't take your life personal, but your created value personal, that he paid the price himself to restore you back to truth. Don't you turn in that into a beneficial prayer to go to heaven when it's the answer of a new life. You with me? Can I pray something over you guys? And then we'll see what we have any grace to do, but I just feel like I need to stop right now for some reason. Maybe y'all had enough. No, I'm just kidding. No, I think we said plenty. I feel done. It's rare I feel done. It is rare. Usually I just stop because of time and we got other services and there's no need to go on and on, even though you could. But actually, I feel done. That's exciting to me. That's a rare experience. I feel done. Wow. Maybe it's because y'all are just such amazing listeners. God's saying, dude, they got it. No, just having fun. Yeah. When I pray, activate your heart to the Lord. And If something spoke to you tonight, if there's something that convicted you, that's good. Conviction's good, guys. Like, you never leave a service and go, oh boy, I got a long way to go. That's not cool. You leave a service and go, wow, I sure got insight tonight. I got some direction, man. Some things are making sense now. I got kind of a light on the trail. Yeah? That sure beats, boy, I sure got a long way to go. People come and say, Pastor, you sure stepped on my toes. I say, that's a shame. I wasn't trying. I didn't have no intentions of stepping on your toes. I want to encourage you into what you're called and created to be. Stepping on your toes, you might just say, ouch, and try to pull them away next time. Missed the whole point. I didn't come to step on your toes, I promise. Now, I did come to rip the heart out of your chest and change it and put it back in, but not to step on your toes. No. I'm just having fun. That's why we laugh like this. That's anesthesia. It's Holy Ghost anesthesia. Because you're chuckling because you're under the knife, and then God's just doing, he's like, they put that thing back in. And you're laughing the whole time. You don't even know what's happening. And you leave and you're just different. You don't even know you had surgery. Just laugh your way through and there's no pain. He's not here to overwhelm you and burden you. He wants to make you free. Yeah? And the way you get free is getting free from you. And only then will you see yourself really clear and see others clear. It's not about people changing. It's about you. And if you listen to everything I preach tonight, there's not one thing I preach that you can't live apart from any other factor in your life if you wrap faith around it. I didn't preach one thing that you can't become and live and pursue no matter what. You could say, yeah, but brother, you don't understand. I'm in a marriage that stops. See, you're not even listening now. You're making whatever your marriage is or isn't your excuse for staying the same, so tomorrow's always going to be yesterday. No wonder you're not encouraged. My wife doesn't have to be in love with Jesus for me to manifest him. My children don't have to be hungry for God for me to be with him and manifest him. The people in my neighborhood don't have to be spiritual for me to live in Jesus. Are you following me? And actually, my wife is doing great, and my kids are too, but it wasn't always that way. By no means was it that way. There was a time where all three of them were off on their own thing, greatly deceived, and they would tell you about it, and they still look back at that day and go, wow. Because of some lies and things in their own personal lives, it was all at the same time springing off each other's weakness. I wonder if you don't understand what I'm preaching, then I guess you become a begrudging dad, a hurting pastor. What did I do wrong? Why don't they love God? Is it my fault? If I was a better dad, they'd probably love the Lord. And it never ends. No, sometimes people make decisions, and sometimes people haven't spent time with him, and they don't know him, so they can't love him. And sometimes people are just threatened by truth because they ain't going after truth. So you don't preach at them extra hard. You become something so that in time they can see it and come to him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can't get into any of that now. I'm going to pray over you. Don't just listen to me pray. Please talk to God if you were convicted in something. If I'd really encourage you to go after this. Start waking up every day and tell yourself, wow, you know, today, nobody owes me a thing. I want to live that. And then you talk to the Lord. You say, Holy Spirit, I appreciate you in my life. And this motive of nobody owing me anything, man, I want to live in that solid place. That's a fulfilled place. That means all my life is flowing this way. So if somebody encourages me, I can receive it because that's awesome because I ain't even looking for it because I'm already encouraged in you. Man, if somebody thanks me, I can receive it because I'm not doing it to be thanked, so I can't be let down and not being thanked. So, wow. Nobody owes me a thing. I'm just going to wake up and look more like you because I'm going to seek you. Sounds pretty simple, but it's transforming and powerful. So, Father, I pray that in this room, this heart would rise up in all of us, that there would be a unity of just
faith in this room that would say, you know what? We want what you paid for. I don't want to live in weakness. I don't want to let yesterday's experience be my spiritual truth. And I don't want yesterday's experience to be my tomorrow resume. I want change in my life and transformation without biting my lip and trying hard and getting into works and feeling like I'm failing. I just pray, Lord, that people have the grace to say, my life is yours. Teach me what it means to deny myself. Pick up my cross and follow you. I've prayed to you plenty. I've sung to you a lot. But I really want to follow you. And I want my life to look like what you intended from the beginning. So guys, even if you don't totally know what that looks like, you can pray this way. Whatever you intended me to look like in the beginning in you, teach me to go after that and unfold what that means. But if it doesn't produce life, I'm not believing it. If it doesn't encourage and edify, I'm not buying in. I want life and life more abundantly. Some of you need to believe this with me. I hear this in my heart. I'm done being discouraged. I'm done feeling sorry for myself. I'm done being tricked into things that have self-centered foundations. When I see the fruit those things are producing, it's a giveaway. It's just a self-centered foundation. Lord, I lay those things aside. I'm done being discouraged. I'm done living disappointed. I'm done letting people rub me the wrong way. I'm just done. I call that all dead. I don't want to live for myself in any way. I want to live from the place of your love. Yeah, and that's not going to make you an enabler. That's not going to empower people around you to stay the same, I promise. It'll bring change. So, Father, let this grace come into our lives. Let this grace come into our homes. And let our lives continually be transformed. Raise up a people that know you, because that's eternal life. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Man, I'm actually proud of myself on this. I'm like, what is going on? It's kind of scary. It's really 9:02? That's amazing. Can we do something real quick? I'll do it quick. Can we pray for the sick? You guys good with that? You're good. You're good with that here. I know you are. Let's pray for the sick. Is God telling you that, brother? No, I want to. But he won't tell me now. Sometimes he tells me to. But usually he just lets me do it because he knows I want to. And if he was standing there, he would too. I'm just convinced. I've looked at his life. He's just got a way about him. Here's the deal. A lot of us, me included, up until some years ago, we allowed what we believed about healing to be decided by what we experienced through life. Holy Spirit taught me to allow what I believe about healing to come from Jesus' life lived in the Word. So when I see Jesus, guess who I've already seen? The Father. So when I see it in Jesus, I know it's the Father. So we say countless things about healing that Jesus never said because we're trying to help our hurting, troubled hearts sometimes. Sometimes we're making ourselves feel better about what we're troubled over. But unfortunately, those things we say are at the cost of truth, and truth makes us free. So I'm going to keep it this simple without getting into a debate with anybody because I'm not into debating at all. I'd rather just go ahead and pray for the sick. I was in a Bible college in your state. And the professors were teaching healings not for today, and yet they invited me to come and preach on identity and the reason for being a Christian at Christian College. At the end, I said, listen, I'm just going to do this and be bold, and all the deans are sitting there. I said, I'm not trying to cause an argument, but it's come to my attention, and I already talked to the director and said, man, I mean, I want to address it. And he said, hey, you do whatever God tells you. And I said, you know, I know you're teaching that it's not for today and healing died when the last apostle died. It was a cessationist thing.
I said, but I think tonight we need to pray and see what's real and go after God. Stood and said in front of the university. And the star football player who couldn't play football anymore for the season because of his injury was completely healed and freaking out. A young man that was born with degenerate ankles from birth, and they all saw how he walked, was walking around without that walk. A boy that had a tore shoulder and couldn't do whatever sports he was doing, lifting a chair up over his head with one arm. And the students were weeping and everybody's praying. And it was fun. So we're just going to pray for the sick because I want to. All right? And he likes that. You know he likes that. So here's the deal. We'll keep it real simple. Some people you pray for, they wouldn't know if they were healed right on the moment. That doesn't make it any easier. Don't lean on that scenario more than any other scenario. Some people don't want to pray for the sick because it's the number one reason Christians don't pray for the sick. I've learned it. We've been asking questions. There's probably surveys that will even tell you this. The number one reason people don't pray for the sick, it isn't because they don't theologically agree. They're afraid that nothing will happen. Isn't that a self-centered motive? Who are you protecting in that? You and your feelings and emotions and not having to deal with nothing, right? The number one reason Christians don't pray for the sick is because they're afraid nothing will happen. But it's a paradox, but because they don't pray for the sick, guess what they have? The very thing they're afraid of. It's like Goliath threatening the army of Israel when they already had him beat through covenant, but nobody faced him, so he won every day by default, even though he lost. And it took one little guy called David to show up way before he was king and say, hey, I get this. He's already cut down. So here's what I'm encouraging you without getting theological and taking a long time. Let's get back in this race and start praying for the sick, period. In our lives. Let's lay hands on people believing that God's going to do something. And that we lay hands on the sick and they recover. And if you don't see their pain, leave. Don't turn tail and run. You say, listen, I'm so glad you let me pray for you. Because the Bible says if I lay hands on the sick believing they'll recover, I'm just expecting something to change. But I just know we can't go after God and believe God and not come up with him. Come on, everybody I've touched hasn't jumped up and shouted hallelujah, I promise. Everybody I've prayed for on the streets hasn't said, woohoo! I've seen amazing things when I pray for the sick on the streets, but there's times I've seen them look exactly the same and stay the same right after I pray. And if I get heady and analytical and try to figure all that out, I'm going to be so confused. I don't know whether I'm coming or going, and I'll probably pull back my hand and not pray. So I look at him and I say, listen, I am so honored that you let me come into this situation and believe with you. I so want to know God more and grow and see what's possible and go after him and not one day wish I'd have believed more. I am so excited. I'm going to keep you in my heart and mind and pray. And I'm just believing today is a day of change that you'll begin to notice strength, movement, something exciting. But man, God's grace be with you. And I squeeze them, hug them. They usually weep. And they don't see you as a kook at that point. And they're not like, well, I didn't get healed. They're actually amazed that you care. I think in the long run, they're impressed that you would dare stand there and believe at the risk of whatever. I think we overplay this thing. Well, I don't want to misrepresent the gospel. You're misrepresenting the gospel when you don't pray for the sick. It's scriptural. Believers pray for the sick. Whatever city you're in, whatever city. What city? Heal the what sick? The. So now we got whatever and the. And we complicate that, but the word doesn't. You got the pool of Bethesda. Whoever stepped in was healed of. We still got a whoever and whatever. Sounds like the gospel to me. So I heard a man of God say this that I respect. He said, guys, let's stop arguing. Let's stop holding resentment because our mother died, because mine did. So I can talk like this because my mother died of sickness. Let's stop holding resentment and coveting all this stuff higher than him. Because unless you love less all these things you call so dear, you'll by no means fulfill what you're here for. By no means be his disciple. That means a wholehearted, disciplined learner, wholehearted follower. Unless you love less mom and dad and spouse and children and houses and land and yes, even your own lives. Unless you love less that list that most of us are Christians for the well-being of. Hello? Unless you love less that list that you get tricked into being a Christian for the well-being of, unless you love less, you'll by no means fulfill what you want. Because when something doesn't go the way you prayed, you'll back out instead of go up this way. My mother died of a sickness. It was MS. Wasn't good. It was 40 years of sickness. I got saved. I didn't have a lot of understanding, but boy, I had zeal. I got to believe in mom couldn't be healed because she said she wasn't ready, and I got believing crazy stuff. And then I got more understanding, and I started seeing healings. I was in a service where two people got healed of MS. I just jumped in my car. I didn't even talk to nobody. I said, I got to go. I just ran to my mom. I saw two people get healed of MS. I'm in my car. I'm heading to mom. I drove the speed limit. I didn't drive wild. I just kept the grace on my car. I just drove the speed limit. You know, I didn't want Holy Spirit out there above me, hovering back behind me. Just kidding. I ran right in and laid my hands on her. You know how we think. We think, oh, I got a breakthrough. Oh, we cracked this thing. I see MS bowing now. You got to get to mama. You lay your hands on mama and nothing. That's where we just think we have to answer all that. Well, God doesn't. Sometimes God, stop. Because if you didn't hear Jesus say that to nobody, why are you so sure? Because he said, if you believe in me, the things I do, you'll do. So do you see what's up for grabs? Your belief system. So when people do all that extra talking, guess what's in jeopardy? What you believe is on the line. Don't you think Satan isn't crafty? He loves when we fight over this and take our losses personal. He likes when we so need to be right and validate our rightness through our human go-through. But if it ain't backed up by his life, why are you so sure? So Dan, how can you believe it's God's will to heal if your mama died? Because I read my Bible. So 4 months later, after I did her funeral, I did my own mother's funeral. I watched a lady with MS in a service, hadn't moved nothing on her right side for 5 years. And I said, I told him about, I was passionate preaching. And we were ready to pray for the sick. And I said, maybe some of you need to understand that 4 months ago, I lost my mother to sickness and the place got silent. Because I perceive some people don't understand it. They go, oh, he's popping off now. You know, preacher, well, what about if people don't get healed? And all that offense starts rising up in people. So I just told him my story, and the room got humble. And I said, and because I won't turn home run and get offended and change my view of God, somebody else's mother's going to get delivered. And this woman in the back corner started bawling. Couldn't even see her. The place was so crowded. She's sitting back there in a little wheelchair. Hadn't moved nothing on the right side for 5 years. I said, get her up here. And I got some girls starting praying for her. Not teaching the people and sharing some principles. Long story short, we watched that lady's body come alive. I personally hugged her at the car, watched her walk to her car. Hadn't moved her right side. That means 5 years of atrophy and muscle degeneration just got absorbed by the glory of God in a moment. shouldn't shock us. He's the Lord. He breathed into dirt and a man stood up. He can't make a muscle strong. He raised Jesus from the dead. He can't get her up. People say, well, I ain't never seen nobody get out of a wheelchair. How many did you pray for? I ain't seen no blind eyes open. I always hear testimony, but I never say, well, how many did you pray for? Ain't that something? See, because when you hear about it, you don't appreciate it because you weren't standing right there and you didn't know the person beforehand. So, well, I need documentation. Faith doesn't need any, and unbelief will never be satisfied. I'm not being harsh. I'm just being real. You okay? Two things you run into, lots of different sicknesses, but two things you run into. It's the same faith for both. People that if they're healed, they won't really know it until time or a test. They got something internal. They found something in their ovary, but they can't feel it. They don't even know it's there, and you pray for them. You hear them in a grocery line talking to their girlfriend, and you're standing right behind them with your little groceries, and you girls can get away with this so easy, it's ridiculous. You girls, you talk to each other in the woman's room. I found out. A lady told me that ladies talk to each other in the ladies' room. You got flowers in there. You got potpourri. The ladies' room is like a living room, and you girls talk in the ladies' room. You actually hang out and take your time. It's not like that with guys. Bathroom is a freaky place for guys. Like, it's not cool. Guys, am I right? You'd be talking to your boy, right? Your brother right there, and you get into the door, and you both shut up. Right when you get to the door, you shut up. Nobody talks, men's room. You go and you stare at the little block right in front of your urinal. Nobody goes like that. You go like that, pee fright the whole way. Everybody like pushing closer. It's weird in the men's room. I love messing it up. I'm like, hey guys, everybody doing good? Let's shake that thing up a little bit. Everybody's like, oh, is he looking? New girls ain't like that in the ladies' room. One lady told me a kid will be in there walking. She'll crawl in under the stall, thinks it's mama's legs. It ain't even mama. She'd crawl up and she'd say, no, your mama's next door. And they're sitting there talking about shopping through the stall. Men ain't doing that. You don't even know if nobody's in there. You're trying to look through cracks. You're trying to see if you see some shoes. Am I telling the truth, guys? Weird in the men. So you ladies can pull this off. We men need work. You just stand in the grocery line. You hear talking about, well, I was a little shook up because when they did my annual, and they found a cyst. They said it was on my ovary. And you heard her. She's standing. You're not eavesdropping. You just heard her. She's talking. You just tap her. We can all do this. You just tap her. Hey, I couldn't help but what you heard. I heard you tell the young lady in front of you about the ovary. Oh, yeah. I'm just, listen, honey, you're going to be okay. Yeah, I mean, I just got me a little shook up. And they want to, and she's telling you all the stuff they want to do. Listen, I just want to do something. Just, you're going to love this. It'll just be, nobody will even know. And you're just holding her tight. Father, I thank you for your unstoppable love for this young lady. God, I thank you for what you've done through Jesus. Ovary, you be completely whole. Cyst, whatever you are, you be removed. Father, thanks for your love. By that time, she already feels the love of God. I promise you. I've never had anybody yell at me at that point. I ain't never had anybody say, well, you tricked me. You didn't tell me you were going to pray. You just slide in there. Some of them have enough church background to tell you why you shouldn't pray. So just get around them and pray, man. If you lay your hands on the sick, they shall what? It doesn't say if they have faith. It doesn't say if they agree. It says if you believe. So I'm a firm believer. If I can just get my hands on them, we already cross a line. I've seen people on the street, not all the time, but a lot. Well, I don't even believe in healing, sir. It's okay, not even asking you to. Would you just let me pray? I believe. Oh, see, because they think they're getting away from you when they say that.
No, you're not getting away from me that quick.
tell me you don't believe. Well, that's not even in the criteria. I want them to believe, but that's not why I stopped. I stopped because I believe. But here's what this man said to me, this preacher. He said, and I respect him, he said, I'm convinced of this. If we would just stop debating over it and doing nothing, if we would all just take a season and just start putting our hands on the sick, we will start seeing a whole lot of things we've never seen. And you take that as just a humble challenge. Wonder if you sit and debate theology the rest of your life and never step out in this direction and stand before God and find out that you weren't called to debate theology, you were called to step out and stretch your hand forth. You say, well, I wonder if I find my theology was right. Well, then fine. But why would you live at that risk? Wonder if you find you talked about something that you were called to be doing. Come on. You say, well, God heals, yeah. And he lives in you, and he wants you to lay your hand on the sick because you believe he heals, and when you touch, he's touching. Well, if God wants to heal, he'll just heal. It's not what he said in his word. I guess he can, huh? Seen him do it. We all know he can. But what about the prayer of faith? What about laying hands on the sick? What about anointing of oil? What about every promise, yes, in him and amen to the glory of God through us? You ever read that in Corinthians? Every promise is yes and amen. Yes in him and amen to the glory of God through us. Where's the so be it come from? Through us, exceedingly abundantly above whatever we ask, think, or imagine, by the power that worketh. So let's start getting our hands on the sick in our lives, because the more people we pray for, the more things we'll see. How about that for just a simple encouragement without getting dogmatic and theological? Let's do this tonight. If you're in this place right now and you have, we're going to do two categories. We're covering it all. You have a sickness, a diagnosis, a test result, or something in your body that's less than wholeness, that if you were healed right now, there'd be no way to physically, tangibly, sincerely, legitimately testify or bear witness. You'd need time to tell, another test, or something. Who has a condition like that in their body that if you were healed right now, you wouldn't know it in the moment other than just simple faith in your heart? Yeah? Let me see your hands. Raise them up high so we can see you. Okay, do you see, guys? There's these kind of things out there. Here's a good example. You can put them down for now. You could be in a grocery line and somebody's right in front of you and says, man, I'm just glad I don't have that migraine, man. I thought today was the day. You say, what do you mean you thought today was the day? They say, oh, man, it's been hitting me for probably the last 6 weeks. It's been coming about every 5 days. This is the fifth day. I'm just scared, man. I think it's going to whack me tomorrow or hit me later today. Do you ever hear anybody talking like that? Man, you jump on that thing right away. You say, well, they ain't hurting. I know, but they're expecting to be, and they're afraid to be, and the last 6 weeks they've been. So you just pray that it never come back. And I was just in an airport, and a guy was in a situation like that, and he was telling about all the meds and trying to get through security. And I slid right over to him. I said, man, I couldn't help but hear what you said. That's crazy. You've been in that kind of suffering and pain? Oh, yeah. You looked at him. You could tell he was on all these pills. He had so many pill bottles. I said, listen, man, please. I plead with people. So I said, please don't say no. What? Just please don't say no. Please let me pray for you and believe what we pray. And God, just intervene and do something good in this situation and bring change, please. Sure, you could pray. All he saw was that I genuinely cared. And he said, yeah. I might never see him again, Pastor, but that was my chance. So I just prayed and believed that God was going to do something good. Wonder if I bump into that guy in 2 years somewhere and he says, hey! But I'll never know if I don't stretch out my hand. I'll never even open the door if I don't. Some sow, some water, God gives the increase. Wonder if we never sow. Wonder if we aren't watering. But we're all praying for increase. There ain't no farmer so spiritual. Hey, Mildred, I don't know what's going on with the corn. What do you mean, honey? Well, I ain't seeing no corn. Well, if I remember right, I don't even remember you getting on the tractor. I don't remember you. Well, I just believe in Fakor. Come on. It's corny on purpose. Why would we see a harvest if we haven't planted into the ground? Hold your hand up if you have a condition that you wouldn't know if you were healed, but you sure would like it to go away and come out of your life. Let's see who you are. Again, one more time, and then we're going to pray. If you're sitting near somebody, just grab them, tap them, say, hey, I'm going to hold your hand. Just grab their hand. Just sit. We can do it right where you're at. You can just don't have to get off and run all around the room. Just grab somebody's hand. Somebody get that young lady back there. Yeah. And when we pray, that's just believe. It's a real simple prayer. I'm not asking what's wrong with everybody. It doesn't really matter. We're just going to pray for wholeness, okay? So when you pray for people in public, don't pray long, drawn-out prayers, please. When you pray for people in public, pray very short, precise prayers. They're already sometimes uncomfortable when you start praying. They already feel like people are looking. Sometimes they already feel weird. Don't pray for 4 minutes over their generations and their next year's Christmas. And but pray something like this. And right now, you people that grab their hands and the rest of the people in the room just agree with us. That God's right now making people whole that raised their hand, that these conditions would be going and never going. I'm telling you, we step out and do this stuff all the time, believe like this all the time, and I've learned that you can't believe God in something and not see something. You're going to see results in your lives in this thing. I'm telling you, this is not a religious thing at the end. Father, we just thank you for wholeness right now. And we just thank you, Lord God, that none of these symptoms, weakness or sickness in any form, would return or come back in our brothers and our sisters. If you're holding their hand, you just say, be whole in Jesus' name. No more weakness, no more symptoms. Don't ever come back in Jesus' name. Father, we just thank you right now that you're making all things new. You're restoring all things. You're so good. Yep, be whole in Jesus' name. Father, thank you that right now these situations are changing because you're good. Yep, if you're being prayed for, just do this in your heart. Say, wow, thank you for loving me, Lord. I appreciate you loving me, or you'd have never sent your son. Some people say, loving me? If he loved me, why have I been going through this for the last 5 years? No, no, no. If he didn't love you, he'd have never sent his son while you were yet a sinner. Don't get it mixed up. He's good. So, Father, thank you for wholeness in Jesus' name. Amen? Okay, that's pretty simple, just a little teaching exercise, but at the same time, with sincerity, we prayed for some real folks. So if that was our first group, who's our second group? You would know it if you're healed. You would know it if you're healed, because you have something tore, degenerated, herniated, growing, you can't hear, whatever. I was just in a service. People surrounded a guy, he couldn't hear, and he made me want to cry or laugh. It was like I was mixed. I was like, God, he's very elderly. And he said, well, I can hear. And I said, you mean you couldn't? No. And then his wife, I had fun. I said, so he can't ignore you. He's not going to be selective. This ain't going to be that. And she's like, oh, praise the Lord. And it was just the cutest thing. But just tell he could hear. He said, the whole night you were talking, I couldn't hear. I said, I preached that great sermon and you couldn't hear? And he laughed and said, no, I didn't hear you, but I can hear everything you're saying now. And then I had somebody talk without a mic. He was hearing everything. It was just cool. And he had been deaf for a long, like really deaf. So who here in your body, you have something that you would say is less than wholeness? And that if it changed, you would be able to sincerely, without exaggerating, without hype, without getting a bunch of music jamming, just in the still of the moment, you'd be able to check your body and know if it changed. Let me see who you are, please. And if you made a vow to never participate in one of these services again because nothing ever changes, please make sure you jump in the group, okay? Please. Lift your hands real high. In fact, I'll tell you what, do me a favor. If you can, stand to your feet if that's you. Go ahead, just stand to your feet so we know who you are. Anything less than wholeness, any ongoing thing, any condition? Anybody else? Come on, don't hold out on me. Don't make me go fishing. I'm a very good fisherman. I'm serious. Don't sit there and make God have to call your thing. Like, you should just jump up. That's faith. But I'm hearing this, and I know this, okay? Now listen, Now, I'm having fun with you, but at the same time, I'm like, come on. There's seven people. You're still sitting, and you have obvious arthritic symptoms daily. And there's seven of you, and you're still sitting in your chair. Get up. I need all seven of you. Come on. It's daily arthritic symptoms, and you didn't stand up. I need all seven of you. If you stood up for that, raise your hands. I want to make sure I got you. Count them. I need seven. I know when I hear numbers. It's not that I can't be wrong, but let me see your hands. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. Bam. Now watch. Here's what's exciting. It's not about me being right. Here's why I went bam and got excited. Watch. I already had enough people we could pray for. If this isn't real and God ain't about to move, why would he give me a word like that? No! Like if he didn't care about people and he wasn't about to do something different, he doesn't want the seven sitting because he's like, why would you sit when I know you're here? I want to touch. Get up. Yeah? You watch how quick the people that waited to get up that I just called out them seven, boom, that thing is in trouble. Seriously, you guys will probably get touched first. It's just the way it works, but it's the compassion of God. Look, we already had enough people to pray for. But because I'm serious and I know, I'm kind of hesitating. Could you tell I was hesitating? Because there's somebody sitting. You're still sitting. You have uncommon, it's beyond normal weakness. Like in your grip and your arms, and you don't know what's causing it. You're in your 50s. And if you're a lady, don't be afraid to give up your age. But you're sitting. You're sitting. You can't turn things. You're losing your grip. You feel weakness in your grip in your arms. You don't really know what it is, but it's concerning you. I see that. Who is that? Let me. Oh, you have that? But you're standing. Okay. I feel like you're still sitting. Did you jump up? Am I seeing you? Or that's amazing. But you have that though. Okay. No, I'm listening. I feel like. Yeah. That's you. Okay, thank you. Let me ask you this, no pass or fail question. Why did it take you so long to stand up? What's going on? And you just, it just doesn't have the strength that it had, and it's made you wonder what's wrong. But it's not that you have any diagnosis or anything, but you've been concerned what's going on with the strength. Okay, that's exactly what I described. That's exactly what I saw. Thanks for standing. I'm just curious. I'm trying to learn what sometimes you can tell their thing, man, to the detail, and they won't stand up for a long time. And I'm like, what took you so long to stand up? Well, but man, if somebody ever opens up an opportunity like this for us to pray for one another and says that God could come in here and move, jump to your feet. You know what I'm saying? Yay. Okay, so let's do it this way. Okay, now we got everybody? We got anybody? Man, we got a healthy wing over here. This is good. Look at this wing over here. We got a crazy healthy wing over here. So, now I didn't tell you this, but you see the people standing, right? So now you see the people sitting. Guess who the people sitting are? They're my prayer team. Now don't panic. And if you're uncomfortable, make sure you get on my team. Because I want you uncomfortable on my team, because then you won't be overconfident and you won't be in your flesh and you'll be in fear and trembling and Jesus will flow through you like big time. So if you're nervous, please get on my team. And if you say, I've never done this before, I really want you on my team. But Jesus has us all on his team. But here's what we're going to do. I want you one-on-one to claim somebody, and if there's extra to go around, you can surround somebody, but I want somebody to take the lead and initially claim somebody. But here's what we're going to do. I'm going to teach this out real quick. We're only going to give you about 6-8 seconds to pray. That's for you. You can't get in trouble. You can't get self-conscious in 6-8 seconds. Who's ever prayed for the sick and you got more focused on what you were about to pray than your faith in God loving them and moving and touching, and it was all about you and your prayer? Well, here's the cool thing, and the Lord told me to share this everywhere I go. This is actually encouraging. It's exciting. Your prayer never has or never will heal anybody. It's not your prayer, so yay! So we're off the hook. We don't have to produce an amazing prayer. Be honest. Who's ever prayed for the sick, and you got super conscious of what you were saying and tried to pray spiritual and say right things? Be honest. It's a plague out there in Christendom. Raise your hand if you're standing. Raise your hand only so we don't lose you in the crowd. Just raise your hand so we see you. Leave your hand up if you're standing. Don't put your hand down until somebody claims you. And then as soon as they claim you, put your hand down. Don't pray for them yet. We're all going to do this together as a family. I just need people to get out of their chairs and go claim somebody, especially if you don't know them. Grab somebody you've never seen. Just say, hey. And if you never prayed, grab them and smile and say, hey, I've never done this before. Just go grab somebody. Just break the ice, introduce yourself, tell them your name. Okay? Just go claim them. Claim them. There's two ladies right here with their hands up. I need somebody to claim these ladies. Yeah, good. Yeah, grab the young one there. That's awesome. Oh, is everybody claimed? Wave your hand if somebody didn't find you yet. Everybody got somebody? Okay? So now, if you want to surround somebody together and like four or five of you just agree in the area, that's fine. But just let somebody take a lead, okay? Now, here's the deal. Take about 3 seconds and ask them what they stood for. If it's not too personal, just give them the 3-second version and just say, you know, I tore my rotator cuff or I got a herniated disc in my back or whatever. Just tell them what they stood for, what you stood for. Just tell them. Don't pray yet. Just tell them. Okay, you should have that already. You got that? You good? Okay, now our worship team's awesome here. I thought it was awesome. But I didn't call them up for a reason. There's a lot of times you're going to be in situations where it's just you, the person, and your faith. And you don't have atmosphere. You don't have setting. It's very important to understand that you just believe He is. I mean, I appreciate atmosphere and setting and everything, but a lot of stuff we do in church, we try to set the tone for it and get ourselves believing and in the flow. And who knows, He's already in the flow.
Because He is the flow.
So I make the room as dry as I can. I do on purpose. Because a lot of times it'll feel that way when you're in your personal life in public. And you're nervous and your heart's beating and you stop them in a parking lot. And it's the first time you've ever done it. And you're like, what am I doing? And you talk to them and it feels dry. And when it's all over, you're wondering why you haven't done this before.
Seriously, it could be that sweet.
So y'all know what you're praying for? Y'all got it? Okay. Now here's the deal. Okay, they got little flashes on that clock up there. So every flash is a second. Wow. I'm going to give you about 6 seconds to pray for them. Here's why. Matthew 17 says, if you have faith, you will say to what? The mountain. Move in the mountain of what? So if they told you, if they were one of the 7 arthritis symptoms, arthritis you leave, every bit of pain you go, in Jesus' name. Who knows you can do that, say to the mountain, and do that in 6 seconds or less? And who knows you can do that and not get self-conscious at all and try to pray powerful and spiritual and in the name of Jesus? Okay? I don't want any of that in the room tonight. Here's all I want in the room tonight. Father, I thank you for your amazing love for them. Arthritis you leave. You never come back. Pain, you go. Total mobility restored, Father. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Who knows we can do that? We can all do this. Isn't this encouraging? Like, what have we been waiting for, right? Like, I can do this in the Lord. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray that. I'm going to count about 6 flashes on that clock. And when it gets 6, I'm going to say, okay, guys, wrap it up. So when I say wrap it up, that just means, you know, Father, I always acknowledge God's love for people. I encourage that because a lot of people don't believe His love, receive His love, or think about His love much. And Father, I thank you. It's all because you love them in Jesus' name. And I always, bam, in Jesus' name. Yeah? So when I say wrap it up, that's where we're heading, right there to close it out. The people being prayed for, I don't want you saying anything, praying. If you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, don't stand there and pray in tongues even. Just do this. Not that it's wrong, but a lot of times we're just receive. And that doesn't mean, I don't want anybody, just receive them, brother. Stop. No, you're not. It's all messed up. What I want you doing is relaxing, taking a deep breath of just, and just, wow, Father, Thank you for loving me. I mean, it's the biggest deal of our lives when we actually believe that one right there. I just so appreciate that you love me. I so thank you for what you've done through your son. Thanks for your love, Father. You just settle that in your heart while they're praying their little six-second deal. And let's let God have his way all through this room, okay? Now here's what we're going to do. After that's over, and they close out in prayer, and I say, close it out, and you're thanking God that he loves you. Then I want you to sincerely, without exaggeration, don't try to make the person that prayed for you feel better. That's called lying. Well, I just couldn't say nothing changed because they'd have been so discouraged. Oh, so you're going to lie? Are you hearing me? I don't want no lying in this room. I read in Revelations 19, you lie, you fry. I read it. It's there. I read it. All liars fry. So don't fry tonight. Meaning don't lie tonight. Without exaggeration, I want you to do whatever it would mean to check your body, that symptom, that area, because you all said you would know. Take your time. Don't just go, oh my. Check it. Really check it. That's not doubt and unbelief. I just want you to really check it so that when you testify, you've really checked it. Are you seeing? I'm not trying to get a testimony. We want bodies healed. We want you changed. We don't want you to testify. We want your body changed. So I want you to take your time and know. If you had a hernia and you can't really check it discreetly because of where it is, slip out a side door. You know, get somebody to hold their jacket over there in the corner for you and check that thing. But you see what I'm saying? We have people do neat things. This one guy, he couldn't run because of something, and he went out. As soon as he just went out and just did all this running, came back in and shared. I was like, you went out and did? Yeah. He was outside, like, running. So check your body. As soon as you know your body changed, let us know. I'll probably call on a couple of you, okay? I want to find out what happened, find out exactly what it is. If your body didn't change, you shouldn't even be talking like that, Pastor. That's doubt. No. If your body didn't change, don't disconnect. Don't run your mind. Don't say, see, I knew I shouldn't have stood because it never happens for me. That's not where we're going tonight. If your body doesn't change, listen to a couple testimonies. As you hear them, thank God. Turn this analytical thing that tries to... There must be something I'm doing wrong. How come I'm never, I don't know how many times now I've been prayed and people get healed around me and I don't, that just got to be me. Come on. I've been around this. I know how people tend to go and think. And when you get in that place, that is a bad zone, man. Here's what you do. Wow, Father, you are such a healer. I appreciate what you're doing in this room. Man, I'm done negative thinking. I'm done. You are doing a good thing here. And I know you're doing a good thing in me. Thanks for loving me. And then check your body again. Hear another testimony. God, thank you for what you did. Now, that's amazing. Man, their tears are real. God, thank you. You're doing it all through this room. And you're doing it in me. And then check your body again. I've been in this setting like this. And I've seen people refuse to let go and change their mind. Just believe God. And like popcorn. I'm serious. 4, 3, 4, 5 minutes in. Boom, boom. Boom, people be like, oh, hey, ooh, ah. It's just fun because they're standing there and they're not going, well, it must be, or the person praying for him. I don't know what I did wrong, man. You want me to go get him? Because when he prayed for her, he was healed right away. I mean, the river's kind of flowing in him. Nobody disconnect. Thank you, Jesus. Look, you're going to see three things when you pray for the sick. Sometimes you'll see three different things. You'll see people just get healed. You'll see people change somewhat. And sometimes you see that nothing changed in the moment, it seems. Don't let any three of those scenarios change what you believe through his life and what he's done. If you were prayed for in your life and your body didn't change, Father, thanks for loving me. You're doing a work in me. I so appreciate God. You don't crawl in bed and go, oh, that same stupid pain. I was hoping tonight would be the night. No, Father, thank you they laid hands on me. Thank you, God, for just the way you're working in my body and bringing change to every joint and tissue. God, I thank you for loving me. That sure beats all the questions and all the blah. Yeah? But let's go for change right now, would you?
Can we?
Yeah? You didn't forget what you're praying for, right? I didn't talk too long. I mean, I did talk long. Are you ready? Okay, real quick, look at them. Real quick, the person you're going to pray for, and make them feel just a little uncomfortable, like that they're really precious or worth the blood of Jesus. Are you ready? 6 seconds. Serious. 6 seconds. 6 seconds. You ready? Receive the love of God when they pray, and then we're going to check our bodies. 6 seconds. Ready? Go. Okay, that's quick. 6 seconds. So right now, don't rush, but just start to wind that down. Thank you, Father. Acknowledge God's love for them in the name of Jesus. Y'all good? Wind it down. That should be good. We prayed plenty now. So thank God he loves you in the room. Just thank God he loves you. And then begin to check your body, whatever that means. Check your body, whatever that means. And as soon as you know that you're healed, let us know. But make sure you know. Check your body. Check them out. As soon as you know you're healed, wave your hand and let us know who's changed. You know for sure? Awesome. We'll get to you. Anybody else? You know you were healed when they prayed that first quick 6 seconds. Something change a little? Oh, is it healed? Oh, you're raising your hand like, yeah, me. Awesome. I thought you were testing. So you're changed. So I got him and him. Anybody else? Who knows your body changed that time when we prayed? Anybody else? For sure? Changed. Okay, good. Anybody else? For sure. Your body changed. Good. Well, I've been just kind of talking. I mean, I got my mic on. Oh, not louder. Can you take her to a more quiet place where there's not background noise and testers? Who knows her? Who's a friend? Is somebody a friend? Knows some of you? They're all friends? Would you have been able to hear, like, if somebody talked soft standing behind you? You would have been able to hear that? Take her out in the hall where it's quiet. Somebody just run her out there and stand behind her and just say some things. And then, honey, when they're talking to you, you repeat what you hear. And then you come in and tell us what you're experiencing. That's awesome. She's feeling like I got a whole lot louder. I mean, I'm loud, but she thinks I got louder. Anybody else? You know your body changed when we prayed. Anybody else? Okay, so here's what we're going to do. What? You see somebody? Where's a hand? No? Yeah? Okay. Who raised a hand? Who knows something changed when we prayed? I had some hands. Back in the blue. Talk to me. What happened? Okay, before they prayed, what was your limit? What did your shoulder, like if you had tried to do that, what would it look like? What was your limit? Oh, wow. There's been something holding back just wholeness. And that little left? But you got really good range of motion, and you were bound for surgery? And before that changed and you were heading for surgery, what was your shoulder like? What could you do? What was your max like? You had nothing. And surgery scheduled. Jesus touched you at home through the night. And now you just got one little, just a little. Yeah, you're moving good. Who prayed with you? These guys? Okay, just touch her and pray and thank God for a complete finished work. We're going to get a couple more testimonies and then you tell us what's going on. Who else? Who else? You know something changed. I think this guy right here, you raised your hand right away. Okay. And I kept you sitting long. You felt warmth, yeah? So you just feel limber and loose and good, man. But that's awesome. So, and that's no exaggeration. That's no hype, no music. We're not, he's just saying, this is my body experience. It just, what's going on back here? You can just tell, huh? Yeah? That's awesome. What's going on here? What'd you find out? You could hear her? Did she hear you when you whispered behind her? How'd you just work it out there? And you talked in a way that you normally would not have heard, and you could hear her, But you wouldn't have expected that. You could have heard her before. That's amazing. That's just beautiful. Yeah, thanks for taking her out and checking. Who else? You know something changed in your body. Yeah. Completely. You ain't got nothing going on in there that's not good. This is good. Guys, this is you guys just stepping out together as a family. We're just believing a simple truth, giving 6 seconds, believing God of sincerity and faith, right? And we've got this and this. We got it. What else do we got? Who else? You raised your hand and I didn't get to you. Back there. Yeah? Okay. 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 Now, do you normally have like a kidney pain with all that and stuff, or it's not aching right now? It comes and goes. What's the deal there? Okay. So there's no way to really check that one, but they're just praying over your back because it's been bothering part of all this mess. Can you guys do something for me? Just stretch your hands to her, please. Let's just be the body in belief. Father, we just thank you that right now total wholeness would come upon her. Thank you for the increase. Thank you for the change she testified of. But Father, we just thank you that just sweep right through her and bring a complete finished work to her body because you love her. In Jesus' name, be completely whole. Father, thank you that these days are amazing to come, that this UTI thing and all this stuff is behind her. In the name of Jesus, thank you. Amen. Amen. Yeah? What? I don't know if we're going to get her back. We'll go to another channel for a while. But no, it's good. I love when God just touches people, man. Who else? Who else knows something changed when we prayed? Or you're checking as we're testifying and something shifted since you checked the first time. Anybody? We have anybody to... Yeah? What happened? Oh, but you just feel good. Your body feels good, and you don't have no tension. No, it's just good. So you sit at home on your chair and talk to Jesus like that. He'll do that to you sometime. I mean, it'd be like they just mush you. You got mushed before by the Lord. Amen. Anybody? Did somebody else raise a hand here earlier? You did, didn't you? Yeah. It just left. Right when they prayed. Just boom, gone. This lady right here? You're telling me Jesus is in you? Yeah! Yeah! I like that. She's like, yeah! Anybody else? You have a testimony quick before we do anything else, because I'm about ready to let you all go, and I know I took a whole long time with this. We all good? Anybody else to testify? Let me ask you this question quick. Who here, when we prayed, you changed somewhat, just not all the way, so you didn't really raise your hand, but you know something changed somewhat. It got somewhat better. You just didn't raise your hand because it's still a little bit noticeable. Let me see your hands. Yeah, oh, wow, we got a bunch of that. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. See, this is all exciting. We had how many testimonies? Now we got 6 more people saying, you know, something changed. It's just not all the way. Who sees that there's a movement of God when the people of God step out and pray? Are you with me? Okay, something change? Right here? Come on, girl, talk to us. What happened? What changed? For the first time in a long time, you feel good. Fantastic. That's better than good. That's her word. Ain't that awesome, guys? That's just believing prayer. That's just believing prayer. Okay, we're going to do this real quick. Real quick. I need you to be honest. We prayed for you, and you checked your body through testimonies, and you're still checking your body, but it's just the same as the first time they prayed as when you stood up. Nothing seems to have changed symptomatically. You still feel the same. Who is that in the room? Let me see your hands. Keep your hands up. Thanks for being honest. See, here's the problem. I a lot of times we don't talk about this, and it needs talked about, because I know how we're geared. What am I doing wrong? What happened? Or we just kind of like, whatever, you know, and we just kind of discard or whatever. No. Man, this is amazing that we're addressing this stuff, and that you can leave here no matter what. And Father, you love me. You're doing a work in me, and I thank you for increase. But here's what we're going to do right now, and this will be real quick. Raise your hand if nothing changed up until now. Is your person still here? Do you see them around? Don't change people on me. If your person's here, get the same person. I don't want you grabbing a new person. Same person. Now here, same person, same person. Look, don't change your prayer. Don't grab for straws. Don't get into works. Don't get another colored banner. Same prayer, same believing prayer. Come on, if you got some resistance and you're trying to break, if you're trying to bust the top of a rock out of your yard because you had it surveyed and it's a car, a boulder as big as your car, and you're like, I'm just going to bust it to the ground and put some dirt over it and we won't even know the rock's there. And you, man, I know you slammed that thing with the heaviest sledge you could rent and that rock just sit and look back at you. Now it's personal. What are you going to do with that sledge? You swinging again, ain't you? You going to swing again? Then your wife's saying, honey, dinner, I'll be in a minute. You got something sitting there that don't seem like it wants to move? Just keep putting that hammer on it. Yeah? So I want you to pray the same thing. Now you watch this. This will be cool. How many people do I got? Nothing changed the first time. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I got about 10, 11. Pray the same way. Give them 6 seconds right now. Go for it. Be sincere and just pray. 6 more seconds. Just go for it. Thank you, Father. Yep, just believe he loves you. Thank him that he loves you. In Jesus' name. That's good. Wind it down. Bring it down to an amen. In Jesus' name. Yeah? Now, if you were prayed for, thank God he loves you. Believe that. Because you love me, Lord. You're doing a work in me. Okay, good. That's good. Now, check your bodies. I want my 11 or 12 people or whoever you were. Check your bodies. Right now, check your bodies. I want to see what changed. Who changed? You changed? You changed too? Right there? Bam! Oh, I'm excited. Now watch. All this time they've been listening, checking, nothing. But we just said, you know what? Let's just go one more time. Let's just pray. Right? And all of a sudden, bang, and you just, bang, it just started to change? Yeah, okay. But you had nothing up until then. And now it's changing. What happened for you? Started to loosen up, and now you can work it? You had pain in there? But you would have pain in there normally, and you have none. But up until that last six-second moment, you still had pain. And you're checking it. And come on, guys. So believing is believing. And if you start going, well, if it wasn't healed by now, it probably ain't going to be healed, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and she could go into different mindsets. But instead, you know what? You love me. You paid for my redemption. I appreciate what you're doing me. Wow, God, you're so good. And then we say, let's just pray one more time. And that thing says, you know what? I'm just getting out of here. Who else? Anybody else change that time? That last time? You changed too? And nothing up until that time. And what was going on with you, man? Just gone. Isn't that good? Who prayed for you? Where at? Run up here quick. Just put your hand on both elbows at the same time. Just touch an elbow on each side. And just say this. Say arthritis. Not one trace. Not one symptom. Ever return to this body. In Jesus' name. Health. Wholeness. And longevity. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Oh, it just feels happy to me. Yeah. Come on, do whatever you need to do, buddy. You couldn't do that? Well, I was going to say, show us what it would have looked like you just running down there like that. Did you just feel it change? Come here, man. Come here. Just believing prayer, guys. Now watch. We had how many people that said nothing changed that whole time, and then all of a sudden, boom, 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 stuff started changing. You too? You mean it was froze, locked, like it stayed open? Yeah, yeah, I got you. But it's just totally... Okay. Yep. But you can bend it and make a fist. You couldn't make a fist before like that, or could you? Painful. No pain? Who prayed for you? Oh. You have no pain. It's gone. Isn't that cool? Guys, this is fun stuff. Don't ever get bored with this or tired with this. This is fun stuff. So I'm going to let you all go. It's late now. Now it's 10. But, well, this is usually when I stop preaching in most churches. So what's that? You can see the appearance is actually looks better already. That's amazing. No, that's awesome. See, I teach when you have visuals like that, don't even get caught up in the visual, like you just believe and thank God it's getting better and changing. But when you look and see it's getting better already, that's just a big deal. It's like, Jesus. So what you do is, Father, thank you. You just clearing it all up. This thing is over. No more outbreaks. No more episodes. Man, I am your girl. You love me, right? Come on. Isn't that awesome? But look how many things keep changing the more we keep talking and the more we keep praying and believing. This is all the Lord's teaching us. Don't give up believing. Don't stop believing. And don't stop praying. Yeah? Don't talk yourself out of him. He didn't give you that gift. Yeah? So you pray, believe, receive all things. Look, we prayed and took four testimonies. People were still checking their bodies, and we still had a dozen people that said nothing's changed. And I don't know how many it was that said it changed at the end there after nothing had changed all that time. And all of a sudden, we get all them testimonies on top of it. That's encouraging. And what the Lord's saying is, keep on believing. Yeah? So let's just do something. Would you lift your hands to heaven with me? Father, we love you. We thank you. Keep teaching us. Keep fathering us. Keep empowering us, because we want to live what you paid for. We want to become what you paid for. And we're thanking you for the grace to walk in all these things. Father, nobody owes me a thing. That's going to burn in my heart. God, I'm asking you to let it burn in everyone's heart. And that we would continue to touch people with believing prayer. In Jesus' name, thank you for it all. Amen? Amen? Amen, guys. You want to close out? You want to say anything? Okay, go ahead.
Hallelujah. Praise God.